Amen. It was so funny because, you know, when they said I was going to be speaking tonight and I heard those loud applause, and I hope y'all still love me tomorrow. the name of my lesson tonight is This World Is Not Our Home. This world is not our home. We've been talking about transformation, and if you would, please turn your Bibles to Romans 12:1. And we've probably memorized this one by now because we've heard it so many times. But it's in Romans 12:1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Since the beginning of the year, we've been talking about being transformed, and I believe it's such a timely subject for us to be talking about right now, and it definitely gives us a direction for the church that we want to go in. I know there was some question about that at one point. Now, what direction are we going in? What are we doing? And so this gives us clear direction, so I'm pretty fired up about that. And we've heard some incredible lessons from the Sunday school messages to our Sunday sermons, and God has given us an incredible gift through Steve and Carol Mukenya. And, you know, when I think about them, I think about Romans 10:15, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I'm so thankful for them because I do believe that they were sent to us. I believe God sent them, and I'm so grateful for that. But even before the McKinneys came, we were getting some good stuff. I mean, I've been here for 6 years now, and for the last 6 years, I believe that I've heard some of the best preaching that I've heard in my whole 23 years as a disciple of Christ. And I've heard some, I feel like I've gotten more Bible knowledge in that time. But hearing a good message, that's not enough, is it? It's not enough. You know, and, you know, there may be a seed planted when you hear a good message. But the real work for your salvation, the real work for your relationship with God, that has to be done at home. That has to be done through your individual Bible study. And hearing an inspiring message, but not allowing it to change your life, is like listening to a resounding gong. I have a question. In other words, is what you're hearing being received? And is it causing you to change your life? Are you continuing to grow? Are you continuing to learn at home and in your private time with God? And I'm convinced that Sunday and Wednesday services, that's the icing on the cake, not the cake. Your personal relationship with God, your individual Bible study, your prayer life, that's the cake. And a while back, you know, I had a good friend of mine, and she challenged me in a way that I knew God had sent her. I knew it had to be God that sent her in my life. And she said to me, "You cannot obey what you have not learned." She told me I needed to memorize not only scriptures, but I needed to memorize chapters of the Bible. And that was going to change my life. You know, and when she told me that, you know, I just kind of looked at her, you know, like a deer in the headlights, you know, man. Like, I'm trying to remember what you just said. You want me to memorize the whole, you know. And so, you know, because, you know, get a little older, memory's not quite what it used to be. But she said, "You should memorize whole chapters." And she grabbed my hand. She said, "Close your eyes, Chloe." And I closed my eyes, and she held my hand, and she put her arm around me, and she quoted a whole chapter of the Bible to me. And the way that she quoted it to me stirred my soul. It moved me, the sound of her voice and how she felt. And I knew she was being transformed. I knew she was changing, that God's word was changing her. And it was real to her and it was alive to her. And you know what? I want that. I want that for myself. And I thought, and I want to strive to be more like my friend. You know, some of you may know her. Her name is Anna Stevens. And she is just incredible. But you know, are you being transformed? It's what you're doing in your day-to-day walk with God. Is that transforming you? You see, we can talk about transformation all day long, every day. But if you don't see within yourself, if we don't see within ourselves individually, that there's a need for a change, and I'm talking about even as disciples of Jesus Christ, if we don't see that there's a change, transformation will not happen in our lives, no matter how good the preaching. Are you changing? Are you changing? Turn your Bibles to Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. So I had to take this personally. In Matthew 7, verse 3 through 5 says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So, you know, self-examination, you know. As in any 12-step program or life-changing program, anything you go through, the first step to getting help that you need is to admit that there is a problem. You have to admit there's a problem. And you know, one thing that I know about myself is I can be very critical. You know, and I have to be able to change the way that I think. I have to look at myself. Before I try to check someone else on something, when I think something is going wrong, I always have to look at me and I'm like, okay, is this my little stinky stuff? Or is it their stinky stuff, you know? Is it me or is it them, you know? So I have to do a self-examination before I start, you know, trying to point things out to other people, you know? And that's a good practice, guys. It's a good practice. Even if you're not a critical person, it's a good practice. And what I've come to realize as a disciple of Jesus Christ is that I, Chloe, needed to be transformed. That's why this is so timely for me. I need to be transformed. But needing it and wanting it, two different things. Two totally different things. We don't always want what we need. We don't always want what we need. You know, and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have to change. I have to keep growing. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. And maybe one of you can relate. Maybe one or two of you can relate. And I'm hoping that you can. And if you can relate, I'm hoping that you will join me in my quest to see our congregation purged of anything that could be viewed as worldliness or hypocrisy. You know, I think that individually, if we make the individual changes, we can do that. But, you know, I want to just, you know, talk about taking the planks out of my eye. And I did. I said planks, not plank. But, you know, I have some, you know, I have some things that I definitely have to work on. So tonight I'm going to share some of my newfound, deeper convictions as I try to imitate Christ in my everyday life. And I'm pretty sure you're not hearing any new scriptures. It's all been heard before. It's all been said before. However, perspective is everything. And so what I want to do is offer a different perspective. And this is my perspective. This is how I am seeing things now. So when I start saying stuff that is uneasy, makes you feel a little uneasy, just know that I did my self-examination. And I check myself, okay? So, and I feel like the Bible's come alive to me. I feel good, and it's great, and I just want to share, okay? So it's okay? All right. So the first point, because someone told me I needed points. So my first point, yeah, that was the introduction. My first point is Spend time with God alone. And I'm going to go through it pretty fast because I got a lot of stuff. And, you know, so just write the scripture reference down and then you can go back and look at it later. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted. I will be exalted in all the earth." And, you know, I got pretty sick last year. I had to have surgery in December. I've had a couple of procedures since then. And I feel like I've missed a lot of church in the last couple of years. But they gave me a lot of time to think and study my Bible. You know, being away from the body is very hard for me because I love the fellowship. Some of y'all may know that about me. I love the fellowship. It was very, very hard for me. But having more time for myself with God and not being in a rushed state of mind all the time has saved my spiritual life. And it was sparked by that conversation with Anna and by me practicing something that, you know, the scripture that we know so well, hold every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ. You know, just really thinking about what I was thinking about. Really thinking about what you're thinking about. You know, and I don't think that we do that. You know, and I can tell you this, if you really do it and your mind is like mine, it'll drive you crazy. It'll make you feel, because I think as women, we know you would just, you know, there's so much going on all the time and it's happening so rapidly, you know, but it was scary for me. And what I realized about me is my thinking is so worldly. My thinking is so worldly, you know, and I said, well, you know, I need to train my mind to be godly, not to be worldly, you know, because it's like little by little, you know, we used to say we're a radical church. You know, we used to get persecution. Stuff used to happen. You know, that just, you know, I don't even hear the word radical in reference to our church anymore. You know, we just don't, you know, but while I was recovering, I realized for many years now, I've been reading my Bible, praying, studying the Bible with people, sharing my faith, having D times, attending church services, and even discipling other people as well as myself, doing everything right as a disciple of Christ out of a routine because of my love for God. Out of routine because of my love for God. Like it was a checklist. And I've often felt moved by the Spirit. However, the Bible is supposed to be our lives, not part of our routine. It has to transform us. It is alive and active. Just like it says in Hebrews 4:12-16. And you write that down and you can go back and read it later. I'm going to read it for you now. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the hearts. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. When you go to God, are you confident? Do you believe that you're approaching the throne of Jesus? Okay. Do you really believe it? Because if you really believe it, it's amazing. My second point, God is still on the throne. Amen. And many of you know me. I'm not one to put on masks. You know, like this time I put on the mask, taking it out, put on that. I get confused. I can't do that. I'm like, You know, like, what mask am I supposed to wear today? You know what? If I'm not doing that, I don't have to worry about it. However, my heart was not where God wants me to be. It was where I thought it should be. And this is the thing, you know, our thinking isn't God's thinking. There's a difference. Satan had deceived me. Satan had deceived me. I've been under the illusion of I'm doing all that God expects of me, so I'm okay. I'm okay because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. My life reminded me of 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a sense of godliness, but denying its power. And as I said before, I hope no one in here can relate. But in a room this size, that would be unlikely. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm looking at some of your faces, and I think you can relate. And amen. It says, they will appear, and this was a version of the Bible that I found, God's Word translation. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let the power change them. Stay away from such people. And I'm thinking, is this why I haven't had any fruit in 3 years? I've been a Christian for nearly 24 years, and for most of that time, I had no idea that I was doing this all wrong. Because I've tried to live a righteous life. I've really tried to live a righteous life. The problem is, I was doing what was expected of me, not being what is expected of me. There's at least one of you in here that knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know, some people may say a Pharisee. Some say being like a Martha. Some may say, you know the story of the rich young ruler. You know, but I can relate. You see, my thinking was so unlike that of Christ that even though I love God and was truly living out the expectation of God's word, I was not walking with God on a day-to-day basis, not in step with him, not thinking like him, not becoming more and more like Jesus, just a better version of Chloe. You know, and I was thinking, you know, nobody at home knows me as Chloe Rao. In my hometown, they don't know that I'm Chloe Rao. My name is Lolita Goins. I know. And when I go home, hey, Lolita, nobody knows I'm Chloe, okay? But now, now I'm Chloe. But you know what? She wasn't right either. She was not in step with God. And here's the thing. Being in step with God, walking with him day to day, is the change that must happen in our lives to release the hold Satan has on us. And until we see it and admit that we have a problem, we cannot change, and this church as a whole will not be transformed. In order to transform, we can no longer look like the world. Are you worldly? You know, I started to say, state your name. You know, turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to look at verses 9 through 11. And it says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kind of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. It doesn't say so that they will believe the truth. It's not saying they don't believe the truth. It says so that they will love the truth, not just believe. It's not enough just to believe. Even the demons believe and shudder. God will send us a powerful delusion. And in my opinion, this is one of the most frightening scriptures in all of the whole Bible. The delusion comes in all shapes and forms, all types of forms. But mostly, where I see it, is in how we choose to entertain ourselves. We choose sinful things to be entertained by because we're sinful. You know, Michael and I went to see that movie, The Reverend. The Reverend. I don't know if I'm saying that right. The Revenant. Thank you, Rachel. We went to see that movie, and it was so good, I wanted to see that again. So we rented it again the other night, and we put it in, and I started playing it, and you know what? I couldn't even sit through it. I couldn't even sit through the first few minutes because of, and it was just the language. It was the curse, and it was getting to me. I'm like, I can't look at this. And I had just seen the movie, but my conviction has changed even since I saw that movie. Well, what are you watching on TV? The internet? What about the concerts you go to? Sometimes I look at these amazing entertainers and I want to cry. They are beautiful, they are talented, and some of them are very smart. But they don't see themselves the way that I see them, or they don't see themselves the way God sees them. If they did, some of them would not crawl so morally low to become successful. Their talent alone would have catapulted them to the top. They could have made it without the things that they do. They could have made it without taking all their clothes off and doing some of the stuff that they do. They still would have made it because they are truly talented. Perhaps you think that some of the things that they sing about or do, you know, that's empowering. It's empowering to women. I hear that sometimes, you know. I say it's quite the opposite. If you read the lyrics, if you read your Bible, you know it's sin. You know it's sin. So why are we so entertained by sin? How are you going to tell your daughters to dress modestly and then pay hundreds of dollars to go to a concert that you know is worldly? How do you do that? Because the artist is a good entertainer? Or how are you going to teach your son to respect women and be a gentleman, to not look at porn, but then have no problem listening to someone sing about it? What about how we dress? What about how we dress in here? You know, and it's real easy to say, you know what, talk to them young girls, preach to them singles and them to them campus girls and those, you know, but the thing is, the honest to God truth is, I have had to approach women more that are in their 30s and 40s and 50s than I've had to talk to the campus girls. And that's just the God's honest truth. Why do we come to church in dresses with plunging necklines, high hemlines, and skin-tight clothes? Why do we do that? Why? Because it's the style? A camisole would not make you look less stylish. I can tell you that. You can catch a good sale and you can get them for $3. Three. I got one on right now. $3. You know, and then the violence we watch on TV is crazy. The language that is used in the movies, sometimes the language we use inside our own homes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's not right. We're worldly. And we won't even start talking about the video games that we, you know, buy for our children. They're rated M for mature. Well, I'm going to turn the volume down, and you'll go and buy a video game for your son or your daughter that you know they don't have any business looking at or listening to. You think the volume stays down when you're not there? The rating is there for a reason. Satan has deceived us. He has deceived us, y'all. And we need to be mad about that. Because we're disciples of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why we're so entertained by sin? It's because we're worldly. And we are okay, even as disciples, with being worldly. But is God okay with it? What about our worldly responses to correction? When someone says something to you, and you, what about our worldly responses to that? You know, discipling, getting help with your children, have we already arrived? I haven't. Did I miss something? conduct yourselves in a manner that's worthy of the cross of Christ. My husband says that all the time. You know what? He says it to me all the time. Honey, calm down. You have to conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of the cross of Christ. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12:1. And what Hebrews 12:1 says is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We have a race to run. It's already been marked out for us. We can't be easily entangled by sin. This is my gauge. If I have to turn off the TV or I'm watching something, when my grandson walks into the room, I have to turn it off, I probably shouldn't be watching him. You can send your child out the room, but God is watching you. You practice the presence of Jesus. Would you watch that with him? Would you take Jesus to one of these worldly concerts? Many times our children do not become disciples. Well, let me back up. Many times our children do not become disciples because of us, but in spite of us. But what type of Christian will they be? You're not fooling God, and you won't fool your kids. If they are to see hypocrisy in the church, let it not be in their own homes or in the faces of their parents. We get as close as we can to being like the world. And we think we're okay because God knows our hearts. And we think because we're saved by grace. But God will not be mocked. It is wrong to take God's grace for granted. I realized that I was taking God's grace for granted and mocking God. And all the while thinking I was on a spiritual high. What about you? I'm not talking about becoming a spiritual snob and looking down your nose at anyone. Quite the opposite. I'm talking about really living your life like God is watching and walking with you. He's not too busy to notice when we're in sin. Really see. And I think we have to, you know, we have to really see that people who we would usually shun are the ones we need to be reaching out to, because they're just like us. They're sinful. We're sinful. Turn to Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. I'm almost done. Okay. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only the fearful expectation of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Are you a friend or are you a foe? Jesus' sacrifice has been made. There will not continue to be sacrifice. There's no sacrifice left. That's been done. The fact that Jesus shows us grace is not a license to sin. Let me tell you something. We need that grace. At least I do. Just for the thoughts in our mind that are never acted upon. But there are the intentional acts that I'm convinced that God is not going to waste his grace on us as we deliberately keep on sinning. He is king, and he is on his throne. He is watching us. This is my third and last point. The world is not my home. My next 24 years as a disciple would not be like these last 24 years. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. If I'm in sin, it would not be because it's going to be because I made a mistake. It's not going to be because I deliberately did something that I know was wrong in the eyes of God. It's going to be because I got messed up somewhere or something. It's not going to be because I'm doing anything on purpose. I want to walk with God. I want to hunger and thirst for his word every single day. You might think I'm being too hard on myself. You might think I'm being too hard on you. I think God's word is clear and that there's more that he requires of me. There's more that he requires of you. This world is not my home. We can't get comfortable here. We can't be comfortable here. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 says, and we've read this at the beginning, and I'm going to read it again, but I want it to sound different to you than it sounded the first time I read it. Therefore, I urge you, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Spend time alone with God every day. Spend time alone with God. It'll change your life. God is still on the throne. He sees us. His arm is not too short to save. He loves us. He wants us to be successful. He separated us. We are set apart. And this world is not our home. We know the truth. We have a heavenly hope. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be set apart, not blending into the world. We have been baptized, and when we were baptized, we said, Jesus is Lord. And all I'm saying tonight to all of you is to live your life like Jesus is Lord. And to God be the glory. There was one more thing. My daughter has a song, and I wanted her to play it for us because I think it goes along with the lesson that I just did. So. Yeah, if you sit.
So this song is called Us Against the World by Coldplay, and I kind of like change a couple of the lyrics, but I believe this song is about God. You guys will see, okay? Tightrope that I'm walking, it just sways and ties the devil as he's talking with those angels' eyes. And I just want to be there when the lightning strikes and the saints go marching in. So God, please be with me. The chaos as it swirls, it's us against the world. Like a raindrop to a river, I lost a friend, a drunkard as a Daniel in the lion's den. And tonight I know it all has to begin again. So whatever you do, don't let go. And if we could float away, yeah, fly off to the surface and just start again. And lift off before trouble just erodes us in the rain. Just erodes us in the rain. Just erodes us, you'll see roses in the rain. So God, please be. Chaos as it swirls, it's us against the world. Chaos as it swirls, it's us against the world. The chaos as it swirls, it's us against the world.
You are dismissed. Please go get your kids.